And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So it opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
Welcome to the GAA Hour. This is the Hurling Show. No Conal today. He got his nose fixed yesterday, so he's a little bit tender. He's not looking as handsome as he normally is, so it's just me, Mikey and Damien here to preview huge Munster Championship game. How's it going, lads?
Grand. Conal's just adding to the list of Dublin hurlers with their nose out of joint, huh?
Yeah, there's enough of them. He had his nose out of joint last year with Ger Cunningham, but he actually literally has it done, using literally in the right sense there now. I want to talk about the Munster Championship first, lads. And there's always the talk, you know, about the step up from the league to the championship. And I'm just wondering how big that step up is, Damien. Because, like, I mean, I would think a league final is a pretty intense environment. And you've played in league finals. I know you haven't played in Munster Championship, but even the championship in general. How much of a step up is there from a league final, for example, to the championship?
Well, the big thing on that, Colin, is when you go back training, everything is being geared solely to the first round of championships, your first round to, you know, everything is your focus on the championship. So, like, it is a step up from the league because, you know, the league is brilliant to win, and I'm delighted to say that I won 2 National Hurling League medals, you know, but it's all about the championship. We're now into the time of year that's all about the championship, and lads have been gearing themselves and preparing themselves for this game, and they're getting their bodies right, their minds right, doing their physical and conditioning and everything. And everything has been solely focused for Tipperary and Cork for this first round championship match. Huge rivalry between both counties, as we all know, huge tradition and everything, but the whole focus is on the championship. In a couple of years' time, lads, we won't remember who won the National Hurling League, so we won't in 2017, but we'll know who won the Munster Championship in 2017 and who won the All-Ireland in 2017. And down in Munster, it's a massive thing, a Munster Championship game, with the excitement and the whole thrill of it, and the whole Munster Hurling, so it is meant to be a better level than Leinster Hurling and all that. So it's a game that I'm really looking forward to. I think it's going to be it's a great start to the season, a Cork tip game cutting into the championship. So something I'm really looking forward to.
Buying into this whole Munster Championship is far superior to the Leinster Championship. Damien, you should remember where your county are based now. If you were at last year's Munster Hurling final, you mightn't say that.
I know what you're saying, but they say that the Leinster Championship is tougher and manlier stuff. The Munster Championship is more slicker, more skill-like hurling. That's what they used to say over the years. And I suppose there is an argument for it, you know, but it's just a game I'm really looking forward to. I'm looking forward to seeing what two teams turn up between Cork and Tip, you know, what players are going to up it and produce performance. So I think it's going to be a great start to the championship.
Steve MacDonald, Cork defender, said, and he kind of summed it up right, and just taken from what you're saying, is that the level of hurling in a league final and the first round of the championship might be similar enough, but it's the build up, it's the pressure, it's because you've been talking about this all year and it's finally here. You're not always talking about league games, you're not building that up. So I'd say a lot of this is psychological, and Stephen said it's the build up, the constant talk, that's what's hard. It's easier once the ball is thrown in, and when that happens, you'll see the younger lads come into their own. He's talking about the younger lads and the build up to the game and the effect a pressurised first championship Munster match, because whether you want to talk about the Leinster Championship and the Munster Championship, and that's an argument for a different day, but the Munster Championship is still a magical thing. You know, it has unbelievable history. I've gone down to Munster Championship games as a Leinster kind of football man just to see what it's all cracked up to be, and there is this kind of mystical element to it. So I'm sure the step up, because Michael Ryan was talking after the league final, were we championship ready? No, we weren't. So I'm sure that it's the whole build-up in Cork and Tip, and they're fierce rivals, and I'm sure the build-up started the minute the league was over, and it's all anyone can talk about, and it's only a first round, but it feels an awful lot bigger than that when it's the Munster Championship. Damien?
I would agree with you, Colm. 100% everything what you just said. It's all been geared to the championship. Like, the most pressurising part of the whole league campaign is that you don't get relegated. And if you don't get a run of results in the league, next time all of a sudden you come into this relegation zone, and next thing the pressure piles down is that you get relegated. So like, there isn't as much pressure in the league, but next thing it comes to championship and you're being judged on championship as a team and as a management and the whole lot. As a management, you might have the job for maybe 2-3 years, you're being rated on every game, so yeah. And then the players, you might be there every year, so you're trying to win as much as you can. So as I said to you, it's all about the championship. Don't get it wrong. You know, it's great to have league medals and all that, but you're being rated on what you win a championship, Ireland. And the Cork and Tipperary game for Sunday is going to be a massive game, so it isn't. I expect it to be a huge game. I expect it to be very exciting. Mike Ryan said that they want that championship pace for the league final. I would agree. I think they were way off. Me being a fan of the Tipperary hurling team, you know, just as a hurler myself, I love the way they hurled, but they were hugely, hugely disappointing for the world, the way they hurled against Galway. And I don't want to be hugely critical either, but they were so disappointing. So many of their players didn't perform. They didn't look like they were up for it. They looked like they were completely off the pace. Their management looked the exact same, completely off the pace, and didn't look up for it either. So, as I said, I'm just looking forward to seeing what team now comes out for the Tip and Cork game, especially with Tip. And like, Tip are under a little bit of pressure too, Colin, because everyone's now asking, can Tip win the All-Ireland and can they put back-to-back All-Ireland? I remember Eddie Brennan giving Liam Sheedy a dig one time, saying was that Tip were great at doing one in a row when Kilkenny were going for five in a row, you know, and Tip stopped them from doing the five. So it's just interesting to see how Tip are going to deal with a little bit more pressure on them this year.
It's all internal, really. Like, what Damien's saying and what other people say is, and you know what Stephen McDonald there is saying about the pressure, and it's all internal. You put it all in yourself. There's a lot to be said for treating the league with as much respect as the championship, because if a player is at championship peak, you know, or at least in that mentality, like Dublin were, who won four leagues in a row, and they might not have played at their absolute best in the spring, but they were obviously treating this tournament as something they wanted to win. Brian Cody's great teams, they might not have won the league every year, but my God, how many finals did they make it to? So this idea that, oh, we'll take the league as a testing ground and, you know, we'll try a few things out. If people are going in with that mentality, then maybe there is an added pressure when you get to the championship, when everyone thinks, oh yeah, this is the actual game that's supposed to be important, never mind those games we played before. So yeah, Treating the league as some kind of a nursery is probably harmful when you come to the championship.
I can see the point you're trying to make, but like, I mean, Dublin and Kilkenny are two examples of two of the best teams we've seen, you know, in the last 20 years. I don't think they're the norm for everyone. I remember when Mikko was over Leash, like, I mean, he wouldn't really entertain the league that much. He was all about the championship, which made us relax during the league, but realise, right, there's another level, we have to go to the championship. He was a championship manager, it's all he cared about, you know what I mean? So, like, I mean, Dublin and Kilkenny are almost outliers, you know, that you can't really judge all other teams on them. But I see the point that you're trying to make. But the my first ever Munster championship memory, and it's actually recent enough, I think it was in 2003, I'll never forget it. Clare and Cork were coming off a few bad years, and they had a fella corner forward called Satanta O'Halpin, and I'll never forget him. Cork were wired, they were absolutely wired. I was down on the terrace, not the Tipperary terrace end, the other terrace, and Satanta won a free after about 2 minutes. And he celebrated this free for maybe 2 minutes later, right? The free had been, like, he was celebrating this all pumped up, you know. And he celebrated after he got the free. And he was still walking around the full forward. The free had been taken over the bar. The puck had gone out. And Satanta was still walking around in circles in front of his man. Yeah, celebrated. I'd never seen anything like it. And I just went, this Cork team are absolutely going crazy. Because they were after coming off a few bad years. And they got to the All-Ireland final that year and lost it, and then won the next two. It was like kind of a new coming, and Satanta unfortunately went off to Australia then, and it's a huge loss to hurling. But there is something a little bit special when you go down to Thurles for Munster Championship.
Oh, big time. I remember, it wasn't at the game, but it's the game probably everybody remembers. It was a year later, it was the Munster final between Waterford and Cork, a game for the ages, obviously.
Oh, you were at that one?
No, I wasn't, no. I watched it on TV, but I do just, it's the one that really sticks out in my head. And I know we're talking to Dermot O'Sullivan later, but he probably won't like my defining memory, which is Paul Flynn's goal, obviously, 35 yards out. There was only the two of them on the line, and if obviously Flynn knew what he was doing, putting it to the rock side of the goal, but just the smarts to do it, to put it into the side of the net, and Donegal couldn't get to it because the rock was in his way, and it was just the balls to do it. And it was only the 51st or 52nd minute, but still, like, a point there was very valuable, and if he'd put that into the rock's hand, like there would have been uproar, like Waterford throwing a point away. But just to have the sheer stones to do that in a packed, you know, Munster final, I just thought that was wonderful.
Yeah, no, definitely. We talked about that on a show recently, actually, about those great games. What about you, Damien? You've probably been going down there a lot longer than I have.
Oh, I've been a lot of Munster games, Colin. So I have, like, often when I think of Munster championship matches, I often think of the 98 Munster final, Clare versus Waterford, and then the replay. Like, they were unbelievable games of hurling. Like, I remember them reading Gerlach Nan's book and Mike Mack's book, and they're saying for the replay that the management, that the players and the management were so up for it for Clare against Waterford that the management had decided that if a row was to start, that one man was to take one of the Waterford management. So Gerlach Nan himself was going to take Gerald McCarthy, and they weren't going to be bullied because they felt they were bullied, and like that's what's in their book, you know. And like Paul Flynn in that first game put a ball just wide from not far from his full back line, you know. And like, they were unbelievable games. I was actually at that game, would you believe, the Cork Waterford Munster final. So it was the one that you're speaking about there, Mikey, where if I'm wrong, I don't think I am, but that was the day that John Milan got sent off. I was actually behind that goal.
I have been
at Lodi. Like, I'm very lucky that I suppose I'm only an hour from Turles, you know, and an awful lot of these matches take place in Turles. I've gone to see Clare hurling Munster championship matches down in Turles. You know, my wife is from Cashel, so she's, and then we commute down to Cashel, say hello. But it is a great spectacle, and the crowds that turn up for these games, and the big thing is the way they turn up in their colour, you know, with their jerseys on, their pride, you know. So I have to say, I think Munster Championship Day is a great day, and anyone that goes to them will experience the whole occasion and everything. So and I always love enjoying Munster matches, even if I'm not at them on the television. They're great games, so they are.
Yeah, no, they are. I'm looking forward to going down to it on Sunday. Is Turles seen as a big advantage for Tipperary, or is it just seen as the home of hurling for Munster?
Without question, Colin, it's a huge advantage. If, like, you just take it this way, right? You're playing a challenge match, right, for Portlaoise, and there's an opposition team coming to Portlaoise to play. Like, you're training on that pitch all year. You know the ins and outs, you know the angles, you know the position, you know that's your own patch, you know every surface of blade. So isn't it an advantage? It's absolutely. And like, the proof is that Davy Fitz wouldn't play them in Turles, so he wouldn't with Wexford. He wanted to get them out of Turles, so then he got them down to Nolan Park, and you know, it was a tighter pitch, but they weren't as used to it. So, like, is it an advantage? Absolutely, there's no doubt about it. Now, I know Cork and Tip have an unwritten rule, you know, of every second year, you know, or ever home and away, you know, every second year. But it's a huge advantage to Tipperary being playing in Turles. But then the debate is, there should be no excuses. You're getting the chance to play in Turles, in one of the finest pitches in the country, where the surface will be absolutely top notch. So it's an advantage, but it's not an excuse for Cork.
It's probably been more noticeable in the last couple of years, obviously, because Parky Cueve's been under reconstruction, and there's a good chance both Munster football and hurling finals will be in Parky Cueve this year. It's obviously not decided yet, but the amount of money that's been pumped into Parky Cueve, I think we're going to see a lot more. Now, I know the home and away agreements notwithstanding, there's going to be a lot more Munster hurling matches being held in Parky Cueve in the next few years, because they're going to have to get some use out of that stadium.
Yeah, there definitely would. But I think the advantage is a bit like Dublin and Croke Park. Like, I mean, of course, it's an advantage as in familiarity and the no travel. You know, you just have the same routine as you would be going to train, and like, it's all that as well. So obviously, it is a pretty big advantage. Wanted to talk about Laois, lads, quickly before we move on, because they're after winning the preliminary group, and they were very, very impressive in it. Their midfield scored about 115 again, which is ridiculous, and got 318 between them. I've never seen bigger scoring than from Purcell and Ross King in midfield. But that's not the point I'm trying to make. They drew Wexford in the quarterfinal. Now they have a home draw. A home draw against Offaly would be a very winnable game for Laois. Home draw against Wexford, you know, Wexford are breaking into that top level. They're a level above Laois. I think Laois can put it up to them for a while, which I'd imagine they'll be beaten by 10 points maybe in the end. But it's very, very unfair, and this happened somewhat similar last year as well.
Westmeath got Galway last year and got beaten 327 to 19 points, even though they won the round robin.
Yeah. Isn't that very unfair, Damien, that because Offaly are a clear level below Wexford now, that there's not an easier way to do it, that the champions of the preliminary would get Offaly rather than Wexford?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, Colm. I have to agree 100% with you there. You know, that the champions of the preliminary should be meeting what we call a lesser weak team. And if they can advance, then they're advancing onto a team that are another level above them, you know. But sometimes these decisions, or whoever makes up these decisions, are it just doesn't add up, so doesn't it? And I couldn't agree with you more. So that, you know, Leash maybe should be playing Offaly, which would be actually a good game in Championship Hurling, instead of meeting Wexford, unless Wexford be waiting for the winner of the Leash versus Offaly. But I don't know who came up with that idea. But I will just say this, you know, I think it's a game Wexford should win, right? But it's a game that it'd have to be usually weary of, you know, that Leash are after coming through a round robin of games there now, and they're after winning their few games, and they're going extremely well, and it's like Anton winning and playing games brings confidence and sharpness, and it's a dangerous game for Wexford. Just, you know, Wexford had a massive league campaign and got promoted and all that, and we've complimented them on the show, so we have, but they just want to be very careful. Just the Leash are going very well, and every game brings on another bit, so it won't all be one traffic and one way traffic, and it's a home advantage for Leash.
I obviously hope Wexford win, and I think they will, but I agree with you that there's so many people already just talking about this great Wexford Kilkenny match that's going to take place in a sold out Wexford Park, and Davy Fitz is going to be in the stand, and most people I've heard say it haven't actually qualified it by saying if Wexford beat Leash. It's just kind of this assumption, and listen, I've been watching this Wexford team for long enough, and in the last 5-10 years there's plenty of examples of them, you know, having close run things, and I think a couple of league defeats against Leash, so I don't think there's any need to be counting their chickens at all.
Yeah, no, I don't. It's not that, like, even the counting the chickens is a different thing, but like, you look at Leash after three great games, if they drew Offaly, who are the clear weaker team, Leash are able to beat them in the league, then Wexford, Leash should be playing Offaly at a home game with Offaly, as a, you're talking about promoting counties, and Leash are putting in a big effort to beat Offaly. What a championship year that's been for Leash then. They're in a Leinster semi-final then against one of the big guns, and like you mean, go into that all guns blazing, maybe a game in Croke Park. And what a boost that would be for the Leash players. Instead, it has to be a balls with the GAA. There always has to be something that they can't just get fair, and they can't just get right. That should not be that. Wexford and Offaly should be seeded based on their league standings, and the preliminary champion should be facing the lesser seed of the two. Like, I mean, is that not the most clearest logical thing you've ever heard in your whole life? But of course, in true GAA form, That's not going to happen. Like last year, the preliminary champions get the harder draw, and you know they'll probably go out. And if all the talk is about promoting hurling, I don't see them promoting hurling in Leash by not giving them that that easier game. Just before we get on and talk to Dermot O'Sullivan, lads, I want to just quickly mention Jason Ford, because he appealed his suspension, and he lost his appeal. So his club chairman Maurice Leamy was talking to the Irish Examiner, saying his father told me he was very nervous about it all day and all weekend about the appeal coming up. I would have expected him to start against Cork. The gas thing I find out about this, that someone can pull a very bad stroke on the field and nothing happens to them. So, like, I mean, he makes a lot of points there, as in, I'm just thinking about poor Jason Ford being nervous all day and all weekend about this appeal and then losing it. Jason Ford, who's not even a regular on the Tipperary team, he is this year playing midfield, that's lost now. And we know how competitive the Tipperary panel is. That could be his championship play. We saw Bubbles get suspended last year in the Munster Championship, and he doesn't get back on it till late in the year. When he serves his suspension, he didn't come straight back in. Jason Ford might say count his kind of championship action kind of almost down to nothing now. And all this is because of a harmless thing with a manager. We don't want to get back into anything about David, with a manager who confronted him. Like, that's really, really, really unfair.
He didn't confront him, though.
Well, he confronted
Niall O'Mara, and Davy Fitz was leaving the field when Jason Ford came over and confronted him. So Jason Ford isn't innocent here. Now, I'm Wexford man, I'm going to say Davy Fitch should have never been on the field. Of course he shouldn't. But once he came on, like, Jason Ford did kind of, he was the aggressor by that stage. He came after Davy Fitz.
Davy was doing a lot of verbals at that stage, and the Ford thing wasn't a dirty challenge. It was more of a push, get off the field, which is fair enough. Get off the field, or it could incite a free-for-all here. He didn't give him a stroke with the hurley. He gave him a kind of a push with the hurley, and Davy was in where he shouldn't have been. And I think Jason Ford is completely innocent in this, and I think he's been very harshly treated. I actually saw an interview from Conor MacDonald and a good few of the Wexford lads saying that this that Davy has been treated badly or something like this. I know they have to stand by their man, but I don't know, my heart goes out to Jason Ford. By all accounts, he's not that type of player, and we're saying this with smiles on our faces, but he actually isn't that type of player, Damien.
Conor, I think it's a joke. I said it before, so I knew this. I've seen worse belts being struck in games. I've seen players, even in last year's championship match, and I'm not going to start naming players, but I seen a player last year coming down on John McGrath's hands. So I did in a championship match. So I did, and he striked the ball over the bar, and the boss of the hurl to hands to where the ball is a long way away. So it is, and like I don't know, did he even get booked? So like I feel sorry for Jason Ford. I really do. What he did was minimum, in honest, he went over, I suppose, to support Niall O'Mara. There was verbals. I feel sorry for him. I genuinely do. I think it's a joke, straight out, that he got suspended, and my heart goes out to him because he's trying to break into that Tipperary team. He's probably put in massive training effort. He's been hurling pretty well, maybe with the exception of the league final, which we can't speak too highly of many of the Tipperary players, but I feel sorry for him. As you said, it could be hard for him to get back in, and I think it's a bad decision. I think it's a bad call by the committee that have suspended him, and I feel sorry for him, and I hope he doesn't lose confidence and heart from it, because he's a good hurler, so he is, and he seems like a decent fella, so he doesn't, a nice fella. So I feel sorry for Jason Ford. That's just me being an ex-player. Yeah. I feel sorry for him.
Yeah, no, and fairness, and Davy didn't even want him hammered. Davy kind of knew that it was his fault, so he kind of said, leave Jason Ford off.
Should have hired Joe Brawley.
And furthermore, Davy Fitz wouldn't want him suspended either.
No, definitely
Davy being
not.
A hurling man, if they asked Davy Fitz, his opinion on it, I guarantee you he would be the first player to say, look at what happened on the field, we don't want any player suspended. Just to be fair to Davy Fitz as well. But
yeah.
Just,
no, he said that. No, sorry, he said that publicly. Davy definitely has said that publicly, that he doesn't want Jason Ford, anything happening to him. But listen, we'll have to leave it there, lads, because Dermot O'Sullivan is on the phone, The Rock, Cork selector and defensive coach. Dermot, how's it going?
Good, Woody, how are you?
All right. How are you since I gave you a good rattle down inclined GA pitch there for GA Jackass?
Up to pieces. my career has come to a sudden halt. My star has started to wane slightly, but I'll make a comeback one of these days, and I'll just have to yourself, I'll put the head above the parapet again and see what I can produce.
Listen, you must be in good form here the week leading up to Munster Championship. It must be a great place to be the week or two leading up to it.
I suppose us in Cork, we're rare than Munster Hurling Championships and Cork and Tipperary games, and the build up is starting to show its head now, and as the weeks progress, it'll come quicker and quicker, and there'll be a lot more talk about it, and there'll be a lot more expectation from both counties. So look, it's a good place to be in. It's a wonderful championship to be involved in.
What's the Cork public like with this team now, Dermot? Because you've got famous support down in Cork, much more for the hurlers obviously than the footballers. Like, you're coming off a couple of bad years. Has the support stuck with you?
I suppose no matter what group of supporters you take, you'll always have your fickle guys.
Yeah.
You'll always have your loyal guys, and you'll always have the bandwagoners. So look, I don't think our lads, it really troubles them at this stage. They're a tight knit group, and I think they're starting to develop to keep the outside out mantra. So it doesn't appeal to them. But no, overall, Sid likes myself and a few more people who have been on St. Cross in the management team. Look, I think there's a lot of expectation. You know, we're after a good National League campaign. But again, the feet are firmly on the ground. We expect ourselves, you know, the Cork hurling public always expect. So look, you know, come Sunday evening, there could be two totally different sets of supporters.
Yeah. What do you put that big improvement you mentioned down to this year?
You know, all right, without getting carried away, you know, we freshened up our squad for a start.
Yeah.
We changed around the type of training we've been doing, which has been a big help.
In what way?
You know, I suppose last year we were very light. We focused a lot on early number months of the year and strength and conditioning and bulking up and trying to get that bit stronger. Now that lads have money in the bank, we went back to a more traditional type training, or speed, or quickness of hurling, or quickness of touch, you know, your hand-eye coordination. We really, really worked on all that stuff. But you can only work on that stuff with good players and good hurlers. And, you know, our core group, we'd be quite pleased with the group of hurlers we have.
Yeah, okay. Like, I mean, that's the thing from looking on the outside. There's obviously the two or three young lads that came in and gave you the impetus. So it's more that you're practicing on your hurling. From looking on the outside, it looked like maybe a little bit of work rate was missing last year.
Yeah, look, you can point the finger at it. But again, it's go. You know, we look at every game and its own merits. See how, you know, all right, a lot of people go under tactical work rate, hooks, blocks, etc. I suppose we're no different as a management team. We'd analyse every game and its own merits and take points out of it, see where we can get stronger, see what we can do better, basically. But, you know, it's very simple. When we don't have the ball, you try to get the ball back. And, you know, alternatively, when you're in possession of the ball, you give it to the guy in the better position. And, you know, because we know without the golden nugget inside your hand, we can't play the game. There's no point in us practicing or hurling our skills based off, you know, 15, 16 hours a week if we can have our hands in it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. We talked to Lee Chin on the show here, and Davy Fitz, just his main message to Wexford when he took them over was that your work rate isn't good enough, and that seems to be what the good teams are doing, that they're, you know, they're working that bit harder. But your defensive coach, you mentioned at the start there, Dermot, because looking at Cork last year, like, he played the sweeper. Didn't look like you were working hard enough out the field, and great ball was going in, and the sweeper didn't really know whether he was coming or going. But, like, you decided to abandon that this year.
Yeah, I suppose. Look, Woody, you know, all right, I don't look looking back, but, you know, we conceded no goal to Tipperary last year. We, as a management team, believed it was the right thing to do. On the day, it just, as you said, just the use of the ball and other things just didn't really work out for us. We're still convinced it was the right thing to do on the day.
Yeah.
You know, there was other court that criticised for not taking similar routes as the season went on and the season progressed with, you know, when Tipperary met other teams. So, look, it's a fine line. It's a very fine line. We were criticised for it. Other teams were criticised for not doing it. So, you know, which is wrong, which is right. We still stand by the fact that, you know, we thought we did the right thing. But this year, look, you know, we want to play hurling, as we'd say, the traditional Cork way. Fast, quick, good hurlers who are good and comfortable on the ball with plenty of speed. I think that Cork has always been based on the tradition of that type of hurler.
Yeah.
And it was important for us to go back to that tradition, where we find ourselves in a period of hurling where there's different types of systems and whatnot starting to dominate the game. Maybe we're naive to think, you know, there's still room for our type of game, our type of system in the game of hurling. But look, we're willing to have a go off it. I think we have the players who want to have a go off and who really, really want to play this way. So I think it's important that, you know, we marry the two between the management and the group of players, that, you know, we get the balance right.
Yeah, exactly. But for me, from looking at you, you're definitely playing two working wing forwards and four scoring forwards. Would that be right? So it's not like you're without your tactics.
No, you know, you can look at it whatever way you want. Again, half forwards, you know, you can't play the game without them. Or half forwards, mantra is very simple. When I don't have the ball, I need to get possession of it. When I have it, I need to do something useful for it. And that's not just the mantra for a half forwards. It's the mantra for every guy going forward.
Yeah.
You know, okay, you can. Some people call it a system, We just use it. Look, you don't have it, you get it, you look after it. You know, you're making the correct decision all the time.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually a very difficult forward line for you to pick. You've an embarrassment of riches up there. Like, there's some big name. It could be two big names going to lose out.
We're in a very, very strong position regards forwards. We have 10 guys for 6 places.
Yeah.
Last year we had 4 guys for 6. You know, it. But that's all very fine. You still need to get the chemistry right and the balance right between them.
Well, that's it. It's all about the balance, really, isn't it? Like, you can't have 6 scoring forwards.
It is. The balance of our team. You know, okay, you could say we play 6 shooters, you know, 6 scoring forwards. Or do you play 3 scoring forwards and 3 workhorses? You know, you have to get the balance right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the challenge.
As I said, we've 10 guys that can play, you know, most of them are comfortable to play in any position at this stage because it's a requirement. If you're going to be an intercounty forward, you have to be comfortable to play from 10 to 15. You know, yeah. It doesn't matter what position you find yourself in. And, you know, we've made that a requirement of all forwards coming in. And I think everyone is comfortable with it.
Yeah, exactly. And the 3 young lads that are on the team, obviously Coleman, Mead and Kingston, they're 3 really good players. And you probably know from 1999 what a group of young lads, how they can completely refresh a panel. Like, you won an All-Ireland with a new bunch of fellas. But even the 3 players is still 1/5 of a team. And it is a big, you know, injection of, you know, of youth and exuberance.
Well, absolutely. Look, there's no dressing it up. Didn't guys have played through the National League? You know, Championship Arena is different. Will they make it through to the Championship Arena? You know, they're putting their hand up every week. I suppose, and honestly, we were lucky enough we came off the bank with a small bit of success. But, you know, it's very refreshing to have these guys in. But, you know, when you see the way the older guys have really responded to them, you know, start to take care of them and gel together, it's just not about the game of hurling. Like, these guys need to know how to balance their work life, their training life, their college life, their own personal time. And we have a lot of guys, really, in the squad who are experienced, who've been through the mill and the same type of system, and to see them actually take the guys, not even take them away, but sitting down chatting with them before train, after, and how to get that balance right and mentor them. You know, you forget about the on-pitch stuff, because the good hurlers will always be able to play together. But it's what I see off the field has really brought them together, you know.
Right, okay. And, like, I mean, they've all played really well in the National League. How much of a step up is the first round of the Munster Championship in Semple Stadium against Tipperary? Because I know we all know the league is very, very competitive now, and the games aren't far off championship pace. But, like, I mean, you know all about the Munster Championship. Where does that, is the extra pressure? Is it the game is that little bit faster? Like, what is it? What is the step up?
Look, I'd expect it to go up 30%.
Really?
You know, we played Limerick in the quarterfinal in the National League. I would genuinely expect the pace, the speed of hurling, the speed of thought to go up 30% on Sunday.
Right.
You know, I really would. I genuinely believe that all the championship games would go up 25-30%.
And is it the nerves, you know, as well coming in the lead? Like, there's a huge build up, I'm sure, down there.
You're always going to, yeah. Look, I suppose it's par for the course, really. But it's how you manage that build up. You know, as I said, we're doing a lot to keep the outside out at the moment, and, you know, I suppose it's peculiar in some ways. A lot of people have a lot of negativity surrounding Cork hurling in bits and pieces. But it's funny, these are the guys at the moment who are trying to fucking stick their nose in to see exactly what's going on, and you know, they're guys we kind of don't really want, so keeping the outside out, keeping good vibrant atmosphere inside in the squad and keeping that positivity we have, they're key factors for us. You know, you'll feed off positivity.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if you leave the negative factors, we all know what they're going to do. You know, all right, we've all heard these things before, but it's just a fact of the matter, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Coming off last year, Dermot, you're kind of new management team, and you know, like, no point in dressing it up, it was a bad year for Cork hurling, and you've turned it around with a good league so far this year and a good Munster Cup. Did you have to look at yourselves in the mirror, or did you doubt yourselves a little bit towards the end of, or at the end of last season?
Oh, absolutely. Come here. Like, you know, we're accountable as well. Kieran as manager, I suppose he'll take the brunt of it, but we did. You know, we had a very, very good long review and a good look in the mirror and see, you know, how do we change this up? What can we do differently? Could there, is there certain things we could have done differently? We had to be open and honest with each other, and I think it took more than meeting once to trash all this out. This year, I suppose it's slightly different. We, as you spoke about there, we have 12 or 13 lads who are actually under 21 in our squad. So it was very important to us that we had someone from the under 21 set leads with us and be part of our setup. So, you know, so there could be that we keep continuity between the two groups, who was where, who was doing what. And John Moyler, who's a very, very experienced guy and has been around, you know, the inter-county scene for a while, has come on board with us. He's under 21 manager. He's come in as a selector with us. And he's brought a wealth of experience with him as well. And I think he's been a big help to us. There's no point in dressing that. No point in knocking that down either. He's been a big, big help to us.
Right, that little bit of experience. Because, like, it's a big risky thing for you to have done, Diarmaid, is go in with the Cork Hurlers. Because it's not like they were going brilliantly. They were coming off a year or two. And you've got, like, you're an iconic figure in Cork Hurling. And, like, did you think, like, going in there, your reputation might be on the line?
The way I look at it, look, I love Cork Hurling, right?
Yeah.
Cork Hurling, since I'm a young fella, is my life. It will continue to be until I can't serve a purpose to Cork Hurling anymore. You know, I always wanted to get back into it. And there was a duty on us, kind of myself, probably, and others. You know, there was a duty to go back into the game and put our knowledge and what we've learned over the game, try and put it back in and try and, as I said, try and mentor some guys and try and get the best. So I never see it as a risk. I'd never consider, never ever in my life would I consider being involved in Cork Hurling a risk. I'd see it as an honour more than anything, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the way I always look at it. I would continue to serve Cork Hurling for the, you know, for the greater good rather than for fucking personal gain or anything else. It's all about Cork Hurling for me.
Yeah, well, that's a great attitude. The Galway League final, right? I don't know if Galway did you a favour to show you that Tipperary are only human, or they've done you they've done the opposite, whereas they've angered Tipperary. So I suppose we won't know until the game afterwards. This is all hindsight arguments, but like, there's no way of actually telling.
No, absolutely not. And to be honest with you, Willie, look, if we'd won, like, what have they lost, 2 out of 14 games, Tipperary?
Yeah.
I don't think we are in any position as a management group or as a team to go knocking someone else's front door to look inside to see what's going on. You know, we need to get inside our own four walls in order.
Yeah.
You know. But
you would have learned a bit from Galway all the same in that league final.
Yeah, but ourselves and Galway, we're two totally different teams.
Yeah.
You know, Galway are big, big, strong, physical men who can hurl. You know, when you look at our squad compared to theirs, you know, you don't have like for like.
No.
You know, you don't have like for like. We have a different type of player, we have a different type of hurler, so you know, okay, Galway's approach the last day worked for them. That game is done and dusted. Again, look, as I say, we can't really, you know, we're in no position to comment about anyone else's group at the moment. We just want to get inside our own four walls, right? And if this time next year we're after winning 12 out of 14 games, then we might be in a position to talk about someone else. But until then, you know, we're a long way down the pecking order.
Yeah, no, that's true. But even little things like they put Mannion on Paddy Maher, you know what I mean, to give him something to think about rather than putting someone on him that's going to challenge him in the air. Just, you know, there's little things you can actually do to disrupt Tipperary that maybe Galway might have shown you.
Jeez, you know what, we might bring you down for a couple of weeks. Would you educate us, yeah?
Well, Paddy Stapleton told me about this on the show last week. I didn't notice that, actually. He was at the game.
Yeah. Well, look, I suppose, as I said to you, Galway's approach, okay, it worked fine for them in the day, but, you know, that's not Munster Championships. It will require a lot more to win, to beat Tipperary, above and hurdles in the Munster Championship game. So, you know, we'll get our own house in order and we'll see what we come up with. And if it's good enough, it's good enough. But look, you know, okay, it's a results business, but we analyse the performance. We know what we want to try and get out of the lads, and hopefully we'll have enough in the tank.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Just finally, Rock,
the you've a brilliant under 16 team down in Cork, I believe. You know, Páirc Uí Chaoimh is almost built. Is the wheel starting to turn back around? Because all you hear about Cork hurling is they're winning nothing underage. You know, they've took their eye off the ball. Like, is the mood a little bit more upbeat down there now?
Look, I think, you know, it's no secret Cork have been very successful under 14, 15, 16, 17 hurling over the last couple of number of years. We have, as you said, there's a very, very good under 16 team. There's a really good under 17 team who play Galway in the All Ireland semi final. Our minor hurlers are in the Munster semi final. There's an abundance of talent. There is an abundance of talent coming through. So it is important and very, very important that these guys are continue to be mentored in the right way. And in the, you know, what I mean by the right way is the Cork way. You know, it's our way. It's the Cork way. It's the type of hurling Cork players want to play. Cork people want to see, and I think it's important, you know, the direction in which the Monterey squads and development squads are going. I think it's of the utmost importance that they stay going the graph is going the right way.
Yeah, okay, brilliant. Dermot, thanks very much for taking the call. Best of luck at the weekend.
Well, no problem, anytime, Matt. Thanking you.
Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year, year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. Beans. Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. Beans. Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear Dermot O'Sullivan talk there, lads, about Cork having 10 forwards for 6 positions. And they do. They've so many forwards. It's about getting the blend right and getting the balance right. And they seem, like I was mentioning to Dermot, that they have 2 working wing forwards and the other 4 forwards are their scorers. So, like, I mean, Cork definitely have the talent up front, Damien. It's about how to get, you know, the balance right between... You can't have 6 shooters.
No, we've always said it, that Cork of top class forwards. Every one of us has said it during the year. I've said it earlier on in the year. Cork of top class forwards. They have lovely slick hurlers. They have great wrists. They're able to score the whole lot. We're now in championship hurling. The big thing is, you're saying there that they've got 4 maybe finishers and 2 workmanlike forwards. But the big thing now, first Sunday, for the Cork forwards in particular, is can they win their own ball? And that's what championship hurling is all about. It's about, now the same can be said for Tipperary, right? Because Tipperary were bullied, especially in their last game, right? But that's the big thing now, Sunday. Can the Tipperary forwards or can the Cork forwards win their own ball when it comes to championship? And if they're prepared to win their own ball, the dirty ball, and work for it. And, you know, we all know they're able to get the scores, but can they bring the other elements to this game with the work rate, the hassling, the hooking, the blocking? And it's whatever, it's a case of can they do it and will they do it? And I've always said to you, they're great forwards, but they need to bring the other aspect, the dirty side of the game, into their game. So I agree with you, Colin. Yeah, they're great forwards, but can they work? Can they win their own ball?
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing, that Tipperary were bullied by Galway. But as Dermot said in the interview, Galway are a big, big team. They're big, big men, and they're always also good hurlers. So they can bully Tipperary. Cork have a different set of players. They don't have a team that could potentially bully Tipperary. They have to out-hurl Tipperary. And that's not the easiest thing to do, is out-hurl Tipperary.
No, I was just thinking that myself earlier today. I was thinking it's a different challenge for the Tipperary backs. And to be honest with you, it's probably a challenge they'd relish after playing against those Galway lads we talked about before here. Like, they're like rugby players with helmets. Like, they're just monsters. Like, Seamus Harnady, Luke Mead, Alan Cadigan are very skillful, quick kind of hurlers, but, you know, they're very, very different challenge from Galway. And I think almost the Tipperary defenders will look at this kind of Cork forward line and see it as almost like a, not that they can relax, but like, oh Jesus, well, at least it's not Galway. I think they'll go into it with a kind of level of confidence to begin with that should be worrying for Cork, I think.
Yeah, Mead is doing a lot of work. Like, I mean, they have their kind of midfield now with Dean Brosnan and Luke Mead is out there, and then they have Bill Cooper and Lorcan McLaughlin, and they're all working around the middle third. And we didn't really see that work from them last year, Damien. They didn't have enough workers out there, and criticised their defence an awful lot and their use of a sweeper. And, like, I mean, a sweeper is absolutely useless if you're not working out the field, especially in hurling, because Tipperary will be playing a three-man full forward line, and sure, they'll be giving such good ball in that, the sweeper won't know whether he's coming or going, but that's because Cork just didn't work. And we talked to Lee Chin earlier in the year, and Davy's first message to Wexford was, you're not working hard enough. And, like, I don't think that memo had reached really Cork, as in, right, sweeper's only half your job. You have to make sure shitty ball is going in so that it makes the sweeper look brilliant, like Tadhg De Burca.
Yeah, well, that's it. The sweeper, look, there's advantages and disadvantages, Colin, to the sweeper, right? If you're playing a sweeper, right, you must find the sweeper when you're coming out with the ball. You must find the sweeper with the ball. The sweeper then must turn then, and he must find what we call, if it's for Cork, he must find another Cork player. The Cork player then must find another Cork player. The sweeper is great when it works, and there's no doubt about it, right? But if the sweeper doesn't work, right? So, for example, if you have a lad in the Cork full back line and Cork are playing a sweeper and he drives the ball into the field, right? And you have one of the matters acting as a sweeper down the Cork Tipperary end, right? All of a sudden you're making an eejit out of the forward line, so yeah, and also making an eejit out of the management. That the management are going with a sweeper and glad to hit the ball up the field isn't looking to see or finding a player. It's called heads up hurling, right? So there's advantages and disadvantages to it. But you're just saying there, I think Cork have got a nice bit of a team going. They're in a rebuilding. They've got a nice workman like midfield half forward line there. So they have, I've seen a couple of their league games, so they are, and they were moving well to the war without having a massive a league performance or anything like that. But the sweeper has advantages and it has disadvantages, but if you're playing a sweeper, you must make a count and you must find the man at all times. But just going back there, Colin was saying Tipperary will hit in the perfect ball into the forward line, and we spoke about this, but the answer to the question to that is only if you let them.
Yeah.
Galway found their weakness and didn't let them, find the man. And I was, as I said before, I like this Tipperary team, and I'm only speaking as a hurler, right? I like the way they hurl and the way they move and the way they can score and all that. But Galway hounded them and put pressure on them and they bullied them and they, didn't give them as much space and time. Next thing, all of a sudden, the John McGraths, the Noel McGraths, the Bubbles, and all these bikes didn't get the perfect ball. They didn't get the space that they wanted in the ball in front of them. And what happened? They didn't get the scores and they didn't get the goals. And Tipperary not getting goals, and that's the big thing. Don't let Tips get goals. So Cork's big thing will be work rate and cut down the spaces and don't let them hit in the perfect ball.
Yeah, and like Dermot said, they've done away with the sweeper this year, so they're back to the Cork traditional hurling. And I think there's a real simplicity in getting back to that hurling, as in every man has a man. You know what I mean? You watch your man, you tackle, you hook, you block, you take care of, you take care of your own man on the field, and that's it. And I think that's pretty much the way they've been working this year. There's no sweeper, back to basics, and kind of work on what Cork are really good with. And it's interesting that Dermot said last year that they worked an awful lot on strength and conditioning, and this year they haven't. They've done an awful lot more on stick work, which is an interesting thing. When they came in, they identified that they needed to be bigger and maybe realised, right, we've done a little bit, wasted a bit too much time on that. Because let's be honest, if your stick work isn't, and Cork are famous for being good stick hurlers, if Cork fall off that, being big men isn't really much good.
It's interesting about the getting away with the sweeper, because I was just looking at their, because obviously last year, 2016, everyone was looking at Cork and saying, you could drive a train around down the middle of their defence. There was just teams running through them. They conceded 9 goals, 143 points in their 6 league matches, and they were porous and managed to stay up with a jammy win over Galway. And then they conceded 8 goals and 101 points in 6 league matches this year. So without a sweeper, their defence has improved. And as you say, it's just, you hear a lot of old school soccer defenders talking about how they hate zonal marking at set pieces because nobody's got any responsibility. Everyone can just point a finger at somebody else. I think sweeper, certainly in hurling, it can be a little bit that way as well. Sometimes you can be, we had the sweeper, so I didn't pick up the man running through the middle. If you're man on man, everybody knows, that was my man, so that's my fault. And I think you can cut down, if people take responsibility personally, I think that can cut down a lot. yeah. defensive errors.
Well, this is the thing, tactic, before we leave the sweeper. Like, I mean, if the sweeper works when you flood the middle third, like Waterford did, like Clare did under Davy, like Wexford do under Davy, they're flooding that middle third and they're making sure bad ball goes in. If you're playing a little bit orthodox with your five other forwards and just leaving one sweeper back there, he's hung out to dry. He doesn't know whether he's coming or going. And even Tipperary have become good at playing against sweepers. They scored 5 goals against Waterford in last year's Munster final. Now, Seamus Callanan said it wasn't through any necessarily tactics that with the wind those long balls just worked on that day, but they also got 5 against Wexford. So there's 2 defensive teams under two, you know, that they've scored 5 goals against. So I think the idea that you're going to play the sweeper against Tipperary might be gone, because the Mars are too smart on the ball. You know, you're shooting yourself in the foot. You're putting yourself. You're not going to win the game if you're going sweepers. So I think Cork are probably right not going for that. But it's interesting, Damien, picking the Cork forward line, right? Because Luke Mead and Bill Cooper would probably be 2 wing forwards, and they're your workers. So you're looking at your 4 forwards, and the team that played against Limerick in the semi-final, and that's another way you'd worry about Cork, as in you think they've turned the corner and then they lose to Limerick, who, you know, went out meekly then to Galway. So you wonder where Cork really are at. But their 4 shooters were on that day Harnedy, Cadigan, Horgan and Fitzgibbon. Now you're leaving out Lehan and Kingston out of that. So, like, I mean, 6 into 4 doesn't really go with those 4 shooters. And, it, like, which 4 would you go with?
I'd go with... If I was going with the 4 forwards, I'd go with Horgan, Cadigan, Harmony and Lehan. That's what I would go with. And they're 4 good forwards.
Yeah.
And I would go then with your 2 workers that you've named, right? But long short of this, are these players... I know they're good players. That's the first thing I want to say about them 4 forwards. They're finishers, they're super strikers, they're lovely hurlers. But the big thing is, when it comes to championship hurling, right, are they prepared to win their own ball, and are they prepared to win the dirty ball, and are they prepared to work for the team, right? Like, we spoke about Horgan during the year where they dropped him.
Yeah.
And brought him on for a couple of minutes, you know, and basically what that was it was the management letting Horgan know that, yeah, we know you're a top class hurler, we know you have all the skills, we know that you're a brilliant stick hurler and first touch hurler, you can strike off your left and right, but we're not happy with the way you're working when you don't have the ball. Your work rate isn't good enough. And, you know, I suppose they taught maybe a bit of a lesson. So maybe I think they were trying to get it through to all the other forwards as well by maybe, you know, I suppose being tough on Horgan has probably been the word, you know, that they were singling them out, you know. But you're asking me, I would go with them 4 forwards from the start. I would put out my strongest forward line, right? They're the 4 finishers, but they've got to be prepared to work, right? And I could say the same as well for the tip forwards, right? But them 4 players are able to score, but they've got to be able to put in the shift and put in the work rate and all the dirty stuff of the hurling game. So they have some. And hopefully they will come. Hopefully they will do it.
Yeah, you're leaving Kingston out of that, who is so impressive in the league. It is a very difficult selectorial decision for them. But you know this work rate that we're talking about.
Like, well, I was going to play Kingston the other wing.
Right. So you're
and Cooper then.
Oh, with Cooper and Mead. Mead was wing forward the last day. So you'd be going with 4.
No, I'd be putting Kingston the other wing forward, and I'd go with Cooper as well.
Right, okay.
That would be my 6 forwards for Cork.
And Mead maybe into midfield. He's been playing really well. Like, he brings a kind of a freshness to the whole thing. But I'm wondering about this work rate and how to get that culture going in a team. Because, like, I mean, Horgan doesn't have it, and Cork in general don't seem to have it. Kilkenny have it. Tipperary now have it. And I remember myself playing, like, it's so easy to get away with not putting that extra shift in. You see a run being made, you put your head down, and you can get away with not following it if it's not your man. Like, whereas if the culture within the team is right and it's player driven, the players on the field know you haven't chased that man. The management might not cop it, but, like, I mean, you can completely follow some man that's not yours, and he might get held up and you might catch up on him, and it's going that extra mile with those tracking runs that you might not have to make. And it probably is player driven more than management driven, Damien.
Well, the way I look at that, Colm, is you're on about how do you bring that into it, right? Well, to me, yes, it is player-driven, but to me, it's all management driven and it's all about coaching, right? And the way you get that out of a team is, right, it all comes down to the whole factor of praise, right? If you start praising an individual on the way he's working and you praise that individual in front of the whole team, whether it's at halftime or whether it's after the match or whether it's at the following training session, about how one individual worked tirelessly for the team, that he created three hand passes for three scores, he won three frees, he put in six hoops and whatever else, and he singles out that individual, and it lets the other players know that the management team that's involved are taking note of the lads that are working really hard. That's where I think it comes from, and that's where it used to come from for me. Like I was big into tracking back and hooking and hassling and running after that, but I used to love it to be acknowledged.
Right.
And if it's been acknowledged, if it's being acknowledged by the management team, it's all great being acknowledged by the players, right? And but if it's being acknowledged by the management, right, it will wash off on all the other players. The next thing they'll see, oh yeah, well, he's been acknowledged for putting in the hooks and the blocks and running back and falling back on some other man and giving a handout. And if that's how the whole work rate comes in. And I often say, it's all great the lad that's getting the score, right? And the journalists and the papers will write about the lad that after scoring the 10 pints from freeze and he got his 1 or 2 pints from play. But the management, if they want to create a whole harmony about work rate and working for the team and all that, then he has to praise what we call the workers, the lads that are putting in the heavy work, the heavy shifts, the hooks, the blocks, the hassles, running the lost yards, tracking back. And that's how you create it, and that's how it's done. Yeah. It's all down to the word praising the lads that's working, and that's what it was for me and us.
We had a management team with Portlaoise in 2004, the year we got to the All-Ireland final, and it was the best example I saw of a culture of working. But it was all driven by video work, and you know, at the start of the year, Niall Tully, who would have done some video work, he was assistant manager, he used to show clips. And it wasn't praise, it was the opposite of praise. So he'd go and study the video, and this was back, kind of, Tyrone were bringing work rate into it, so he was a kind of a bit of ahead of his time. But he used to show us clips of lads not working. Lads standing around midfield, watching a run take off, and just stand there watching him, right? So he'd show a couple of clips of that, and he'd say, lads, we're not going anywhere with that, right? So that year I was captain, so right on the back of him saying it, Lynch, the fella, said, we're wasting our time with that kind of shit, right? So, and then another player would back that up, and suddenly lads were being shamed into working because nobody wanted to be the fella the next week being on the video clip of standing around. And like, it looks really, really bad when you see that on a video. You're standing around and you can make that run. And like I said to Damien, you can get away with it live at the game, but you can't. A video doesn't lie.
Yeah.
And a video doesn't lie to your teammates either, who are watching you. And especially when some of them are working and you're the one deciding, I'm too good to do what, you know what I mean, what they're doing. And you can shame lads into doing that, but that's good management, and that's doing a bit of video work. It might only take half an hour, like, watch it through, and they're very obvious. It's not like you have to be a genius analyst to pick out these examples, but that's how to create that culture, and that's how to create how you can't hide on the field. And then it's policed by the players because they see it on the field, and they're ramming home this new culture that's there, and suddenly you've got this, you know, team that's hard workers, and that's how it sets fire.
Yeah, it's interesting. You go back to Davy Fitz, and perhaps to Leach in and what he said about the work rate, and first thing he said to them, Conor McDonald was speaking recently, and he just said how this year the Wexford panel have just become, he just said, freakishly honest. He said, you've never met a more honest bunch of 20-something-year-old men. He said, the things we say to each other, we wouldn't say to our own families. And this is obviously, like, this was well known with Davy and Clare as well, that he could actually kind of engender this atmosphere. And he's done it in Wexford now, and it seems that Conor McDonald says this, and it's not just stuff on the field, it's stuff off the field. Lads are calling each other up on, you know, lifestyle choices, you know, are you recovering right, and this kind of stuff. So it does seem that the right kind of manager can put this in place and instill it, and then actually just leave it to the players to drive it on.
Yeah, once you have it there, then it's self-policed. And you, like, the great thing about team sport is that if you want to be a waster, you know what I mean, the worst people to come down on you are your own teammates. Like, I mean, you can say, manager, don't be, you know, give me a break, but your teammates are on the field with you, David. There's nothing worse than getting a telling off by two or three of your teammates.
Oh no, that comes down to honesty, you know, and it has to be honesty. Colin, there has to be honesty within the group, you know, and it's like that, and what happens on the pitch or happens in the training session should stay in a training session, you know, and if it's solely just down to what happened in a game or in a training session, you know, that's and you're not working hard enough, there has to be honesty and you have to be told the truth, and if you want to win stuff, there has to be a whole honesty within the group. There is, so like with work rate and all that, work rate comes down to just pure hard work and honesty, and the management then praising it to back it all up. And the video analysis, as you said, you don't want to be the lad, you know, not working or whatever, or the lad that's pretending he's working, that he's pretending he's running after a lad and all he's doing is going half pace instead of going full pace for fear he gets a belt, you know, and that drives me absolutely bananas when you see a lad in a video and he's running after that and he's pretending he's running but he's really not running because he's only just pretending. So I agree with you, Colin.
Yeah, most people can spot that as well. We haven't talked about Tipperary. Well, we might mention it quickly only because I don't want it to sound soundbitey, but we talked a lot about Tipperary throughout the league. You know, we hadn't talked enough about Cork. Personally, I don't think Tipperary are going to change anything. There's no need to panic. I see them talking a lot during the league, as in Michael Ryan said he tried to protect his players as much as possible from the hype, and I think that's why they have a media ban. I think the comparisons to Kilkenny were unfair probably to them now. But like, I mean, I think people were saying they could potentially be Kilkenny, you know, but maybe that gets into players' minds and, you know, maybe they thought they were better than they were. But Michael Ryan's, you know, spoke very well during the week saying, we're not Kilkenny. We've lost our share of matches. I've been involved in them as a player and a selector. And number one, we're not unaccustomed to losing matches. You know, that Kilkenny are just like a freak and there's no other county in Ireland can be compared to them unless you're two or three All-Irelands down the road. And maybe all that talk was you know, premature, but they just won the All-Ireland in such impressive fashion, like it's probably normal. What are we supposed to talk about here, Michael? Give us a break. That's the way it works. But I'd say that's what the media ban was about, but we'll have plenty to talk about from Tipperary right throughout the summer. And I'm going down to the game on Sunday, so I'm hoping to talk to Michael Ryan. I haven't spoken to him all year. I'll grab one or two of the Tipperary or Cork players or whoever wins. Right, we'll leave it there, lads, and we'll be back with predictions in a second.
After the match with you know, with Marty Morrissey and the Marty squad, and you know, the big thing for me yesterday with Clare versus Galway was,
hang on, did you ask permission to do the Marty squad there?
Well, I didn't, but I was only a special guest. Last Thursday, you asked me the same question when I started Bubbles, and I said it yesterday on the Marty squad. Says yes, I would have started Bubbles for that game yesterday. That was the first I heard of Johnny King coming back with the Galway squad. You know, I was asked just in the Marty squad.
Here, Damien, are you getting paid for Marty squad plugs on our show here?
That's three.
Wait, no, I do that completely voluntarily.
He hits it! He hits it! It's over the bar! Oh, holy Moses! What a match!
Move away from the messing there, lads, right? We have a serious show to do here, right?
Predictions, only one game. We had six in the football to get through, but they were all very one-sided ones. The betting in this says that it is one-sided. Tipperary are 1-4, Cork are 7-2 to win this one. It's obviously in Thurles. The handicap betting is Tipperary are -5 at 10-11 and Cork are +5 at evens. So I don't know what way you're looking at there, lads. I'd be looking at Tipperary -5 if I'm being honest.
Yeah, similar. I just think that league final defeat would probably kick up the arse to the team that didn't really need a kick up the arse has got, and provided Bonner's back and Jimmy Callanan's back, I definitely think they have the firepower to win by more than 5 points against a Cork team whose attack is good, but I think that Tipperary defence is just, I think they're going to be too much for them. So I think, yeah, Tip -5.
What do you think, Damien? Do you think Tip will cover that -5?
Yeah, I think the Tip will win. So I do. I think what happened in the league final was a good kick up the backside. I agree with Mikey there. I think it came at a great time. So it is. I think they were bullied. I think it's something that Michael Ryan will want to sort out. I think that some of the players dropped their standards for such good hurlers. I think it's something to prove. I think their workmanlike performances went down. They didn't score any goals. I think some of their marquee players didn't play well. I think there's certain players out there that have something to prove. I think they would beat Cork. I do. It's in their home patch. I think they have a lot to prove. I think Tip will have way too much for Cork. So, and I think Cork's big thing will be they'll be trying to up the work rate and try and minimise goals and take from there. But no, I expect Tipperary to push on and push on for the league final, because they were extremely disappointed and they know that more than anyone else.
See, I'm not sure I go along with this, because, like, I mean, Tipperary played Galway in the league final. They've always trouble against Galway. Galway are like a team that are able to put it up to them. They beat them in the All-Ireland semi-final 2 years ago. They should have beaten them last year in the All-Ireland semi-final. Tipperary were absolutely steeped to beat Galway then. It's not like they beat Waterford in the league final, who they'd hammered in the Munster and didn't take them seriously. Like, I think it's too easy kind of an excuse to say Tipperary didn't take that game seriously. Tipperary really wanted to win that league. I think that game is proof that Tipperary can be flat on any given day, you know, which will give a lot of encouragement to Cork. There's two ways of looking at this, lads, and I mentioned this to Dermot O'Sullivan. Cork, if Cork win, they'll have learned a lot from the Galway defeat. If Cork lose, Tipperary learned a lot from the Galway defeat. You know what I mean? And these are hindsight arguments that nobody's right until the actual result comes out. Now, I would be leaning more your way of thinking, that Tipperary got a wake-up call. But there's also another way of looking at it, that maybe Tipperary, like, all that inconsistency is still there under the ground somewhere, that just a good start from the other team can maybe let that resurface. You know what I mean? I definitely think Cork will have taken encouragement from that result, but I also think Tipperary will have gotten the kick up the arse, you know. So, like, I mean, it's hard to know what way to look at it before the game.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right, Tipperary got beaten in the league final by a very good hurling team who do match up very well against Tipperary, and I think it happened in the All-Ireland final last year. Kilkenny got beaten, and sometimes in hurling when you get beaten you don't just get beaten, you get a hiding, and it kind of happened to Tipperary the other day. But I just think that Galway team and this Cork team are apples and oranges, and I don't think it really matters what Tipperary have learned. I just think Tipperary, with or without any schooling, are a much better team than Cork.
Yeah, they're too good for them. And do you think they'll cover the five, Damien? Because it's like, I still really don't know where Cork are, because if they targeted the league, they had a few good results in the league, but then the semi-final against, they're losing the quarter-final to Limerick, which would make you worry about this progress that they're making. Like, you know, a team that's going to beat Tipperary is not losing to Limerick. Now, Dermot O'Sullivan says that the championship, the end of the league, you have to have a 30% improvement to play in a Munster championship. But whether Cork can go 30% up from that league quarter final against Limerick?
Yeah, well, what I would suspect that Cork have done for this game is, I reckon they've set down players and management, and they've watched that league final. I reckon they've watched the league semi final, right, where Tip played Wexford, and they've seen what Tip don't like. And Tip don't like in your face hurling, get stuck into them, man up to them, go toe to toe, make it rough, make it tough, you know. And there was a disadvantage to something about Tipperary, right? Tipperary let you hurl. Now, they hurl as well, but they do let you hurl, you know. And that's what I expect, you know. And I hope that Cork have improved, you know, this year, and they've upped it another notch, and they've found these new players that are going to help the team, right? Because the championship needs Cork as well, right? But I would be hoping that Cork would have studied the league final and league semi-final against Tipperary, and to see where Tipperary's weaknesses are as a team and as individual players, and hopefully they can kick into a massive push for Sunday. But I just think that Tipperary will be too strong and have just too much to prove on Sunday.
Yeah, for the third time, do you think they'll cover the five?
Will the what?
Will Cork be within five of them? Will Tipperary minus five be the bet?
No, Tip will win more by five.
By more than five, right. Okay, lads, quickly, we have a first goal scorer here. Shane McCallan is 4-1. John McGrath is 6-1. Bubbles of the Wire is 15-2. Then on the Cork side, Cadigan is 9-1. Patrick Horgan is 9-1. Conor Lehan is 10-1. Outside of that, it's hard to know. Look, it's hard to look past Shane McCallan anyways for first goal scorer.
I'll go John McGrath.
You go John McGrath, 6-1. Right, what do you think, Damien?
I'll go Bubbles, because I want Bubbles to up it. I'd like Bubbles to start cementing his place and showing us the player that he is. So, and I'm a massive fan of Bubbles, but I want to see more of him this year.
You are. You're a big Bubbles fan.
I am a massive Bubbles fan, because it was like Colin Finlay last year. I wanted Colin Finlay to produce produce a big one, and he did against Waterford. So he did, and I just think Bubbles is such a good hurler that I'd love to see more of him, being honest, you know, because he can do stuff, you know. But I just hope he'll have a big championship. So I do, and no more than my prediction for hurler of the year, Bonner Maher. So I'll go with Bubbles for first goal.
Bonner Maher, just on the off chance there, is 12-1. If you want to change your decision, you're sticking with Bubbles at 15-2.
Well, Bonner is one of those lads, as we were saying, is one of the workers. His management team would be going up telling him how many assists he made, and how many hooks he made, and how many blocks he made, and how many frees he won, and offloads, you know. And that's Bonner's major attribute, so it is, and he's a vital cog to the Tipperary setup.
Yeah, okay, brilliant stuff, lads. Thanks very much for everything, and we'll be back on Monday. We'll have Paddy and JJ. We haven't had Paddy and JJ on for a while. So we'll talk to them, and hopefully I'll have some audio from the game on Sunday. So see you on Monday. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop, and when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going, so it opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through, but it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.